You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Right now, we kick off the show with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. And I'm joined on the show by a show favorite, Skulk Low, who is wealth manager at PSG Old Oak, to take a look at some of the market movements throughout the day. Good evening, Skulk. Lovely to speak to you again. The last time we spoke, the Rand was closer to 18 Rand 40 and 18 Rand 50. Now it's at 19 Rand 15. What did you do?
Oh, man, Mr. Moyaha. I want to say it's going like a Boeing, but that wouldn't be good, because we know Boeing's pitfalls lately. what a time to sort of be alive in the markets. I mean, first we had Friday. I mean, Friday just everything ended up being crazy. And then Nvidia down 10%. We had Netflix that brought out pretty. I didn't think it was too bad. I mean, I thought the results looked pretty solid. And all hell just broke loose through the latter part of Friday. Ended, these magnificent seven ended up being the unlucky number seven. And today you can see the nervousness in the market. We are a little bit, greenish today. But as you mentioned, Rand 15, 19, 1915. I mean, really looking bad. But let's look why. I mean, this is things I saw today. Funny enough, Annabelle Bishop, chief economist from Investec, she came out with a report, stating that worst case scenario, we could even see 2140. Now, I think that is, that is the severe down case. I think a base case is still around 1770, 18 levels, which I concur with. Why is this happening? I mean, this is dollar play to me. I mean, this is not we've got nothing to do with the Rand. We know the Rand is sort of a proxy for all emerging markets. And when you see, look at the past week's events in the market, there's a lovely indicator. And then I encourage all listeners to go and Google CNN Fear and Greed Index. Beautiful index. I'm not going to discuss all the indicators that it actually used to create this. But it gives you a sort of a barometer where we find ourselves. Is it sort of a greed environment, extreme greed, fearful, or extreme fear? And 2 weeks ago, I mean, I sat in the morning meeting, and I had a fairly younger team that day, and they were talking about the extreme greed environment. They've only sort of come accustomed to this greedish environment for the S&P 500. And man, how did that change? I mean, literally from two weeks, extreme greed, now in an environment where we're sitting really being fearful. I think there's about two or three points left, and then it's going to move into extreme fearful environment. And when we have the fearful environment, it's funny, the dollar still remains king. I mean, when people get worried, it's like Warren Buffett said, be fearful when everyone's greedy, and when everyone is fearful. Nowadays, when everybody gets fearful, they just run to the dollar. I mean, so the dollar, the past week, about 40 basis points to the positive, green, and the Rand dollar, naturally, that's down 80 basis points. I would say, I think the environment we're finding ourselves in, I mean, that people are moving out of risky assets, and naturally, emerging markets, which South Africa is a very nice tradable currency, is one of the favorite hotspots to get themselves sort of hedged against this fearful environment. And then naturally the commodities as well. Commodities, we've seen a retracement. I mean, last week, you and I were high-fiving each other because gold was closer to $2,400. Palladium were looking good, platinum were looking good, and rhodium were looking good. And why is this important? Well, we're the biggest palladium producer in the world. We're the second largest platinum producer in the world, largest rhodium producer, and the eighth largest gold producer in the world. So naturally, when these commodities are running, this is good. Good for South Africa, good for our currency, good for our economy. But when they retrace, like they're currently doing, naturally that'll have the effect on the Rand. Did my explanation well enough? Am I out of the woods here?
No, not yet. We're going to look into the US dollar. You're getting there, but I want to look at the US dollar. And I want to look at it for a couple of reasons. You've said that a lot of the sentiment sort of hinges on what happens in the US and the picture that sits there and how markets sort of run into the dollar. At what point do international markets say, hang on, you as the United States had a $2 trillion stimulus that you are now using to keep the dollar levels where they are, to keep dollar strength where it is, and the rest of the world is suffering because of that. Because we're seeing in Europe that their economies are slowing down and they're considering rate cuts. We're now seeing in South Africa that our own Reserve Bank governor is saying that, yes, we might look at what the US does, but we might not necessarily take our cue from the US. We know China's never going to take their cue from the US. They never have. So that's not really a surprise there. But at what point do global markets start to say, maybe we've put too much into the US dollar? Is that even a concept that global markets can think of?
Extremely good question. Because, I mean, now I'm going to refer to Christine Lagarde, I mean, head of the ECB. I'm going to sort of coin her phrase. She said, I mean, we are data dependent. We are not Fed dependent. Now, I am sticking my hand up and I'm calling this one and say, well, I think you're going to flinch. I think you are Fed dependent. I don't think the ECB will decline interest rates before the US, even though they should be doing it. Because we know that the UK has already gone into a technical recession. Japan is already in a technical recession. So where does it leave us? Why is this important for listeners that don't know what I'm referring to? Well, what we've seen lately is we went into this year, and actually, November last year, we were all done. Inflation was beaten. Powell came out already hinted. I mean, there was on one stage they were looking at 6 rate cuts for 2024. Now, as we sit here, I'm not 100% sure we're going to see a rate cut at all for 2024. Now, I know, what's been talked about on Friday was most probably the final quarter, the latter part of this year, we might see a interest rate a decline. Well, if you look at the probabilities there, I'm using the CME probability tool. I mean, as it currently stands, we're not even 100% there. We're not even 80%. We're sitting at 77% probability that we'll see a rate cut in November. And we need to see the economies do better. I mean, commodities do better. Countries should be doing, economy should be doing better. But that will only happen when we start seeing the rate cuts. And if the US don't cut rates, don't expect the dollar to retrace anytime soon. I mean, that's very important. If the dollar don't retrace, naturally our currency will weaken even further. We will most probably see a decline in precious metals because there's a very, very high correlation between precious metals and the dollar movement, inverse correlation. Higher dollar, lower precious metals, lower dollar, higher precious metals. So I think that's going to be a big play. I mean, the economy is strong. And as you mentioned, they did use a lot of this stimulus, printing money, to keep the economy stronger, and it's staying stronger for longer.
Skulk, what do we make of what's happening in the eastern part of the world? I mean, China's been quite quiet, especially on the demand side of things. We know that there's ongoing tensions in the Middle East that they haven't weighed in on as yet. Are we forecasting demand returning to the markets anytime soon, or any significant things around demand? I know everything with China kind of sits around when we get the announcement rather than us trying to forecast it.
No, good point. So I think you mentioned two things, and that you're looking at the Middle East, you're talking about China. So I think when you look at the geopolitical risk, I still think geopolitical risk for 2024 is going to be the main theme. I mean, I don't foresee this theme playing it out in the next week or two. I think Russia and Ukraine is in it for the long haul. I think, as sorry to say, but Israel and the whole Middle East is a big theme. So the second part of your question was China. Do I foresee China, improving? Bar them attacking Taiwan. I mean, let's say everything stays sort of in the green on that side. I was surprised with the first quarter GDP announcement 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. They came out of 5.3% growth, which was a handsome beat, and sort of now telling us, well, we've been expecting China to stimulate similarly to what the US has done, stimulate their economy in certain ways as well. They've done little stimulus. I mean, I'll call it a pea shooter. It's not even close to being the bazooka. They just took these little pew-pews. And I think the reason why they only use the pew-pews is that they didn't need to use the bazookas. They know the economy is currently improving anyway.
Well, we'll keep an eye on China and their little pew-pews and what they're using them for. Thanks so much, Skulk. Always a pleasure speaking to you. You make Mondays so much better. That's Skulk Lowe, Wealth Manager, PSG Old Oak, taking me through some of the market movements today, some of the sentiments around the world, as well as some of what's playing out in other economies.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.